This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Yeah, it's kind of my thing.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Now you're making your debut as a college football coach.
I hope it goes a lot better in the game against Dallas. They crushed us.
Today's guests, ESPN Monday Night Football analyst Troy Aikman, Commanders linebacker Von Miller, actor Paul Rudd, Broncos head coach Sean Payton. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, welcome to the wonderful world of the Rich Eisen Show on Disney Plus, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app everywhere. We say hello to absolutely everybody out there in our world, whether you are streaming us to see us or, again, you are listening to us on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We are thrilled to be here on Disney Plus. And we welcome that new audience. We welcome anybody that might be new to our show that started 11 years ago, coming up next month. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Again, whether you're watching us or you're listening to a SiriusXM Channel 80, we say hello to you and to anybody that's out there on the ESPN Radio Network coast to coast on this affiliate smart enough to have us. Let's chat. We're available every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern. If you somehow in any way miss this program, you can watch it again on Disney Plus at your leisure. You can also check us out on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show, for all the videos. And then, of course, there's our podcast form, all 3 hours, however you get your podcast, through the ESPN Podcast Network. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I'm great. How are you, my friend?
I am doing well. Is it true you actually spent Monday in Disneyland? Did you lean into our new partnership that way, Christopher?
I was in the land of Disney all day Monday.
Look at you.
It was spectacular.
And you survived it.
Yes, I did.
You survived
it
the ground.
So hot.
Fantastic. Good to see you over there. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nets. Mike Del Tufo, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Rich. How
are
you doing?
I'm
you
great.
Doing?
And TJ Jefferson, the man in the corner of our program. Good to see you. The candle is lit. How are you, sir?
Hey, it's our first day of school today. Our first day of ESPN, nice. and this is awesome.
You are how many years old? Because you don't give your age out.
How many is that on there?
That's a question mark, because we're still not sure.
Oh, that's so weird. Yeah,
less than 100, weird. More than 10, I guess.
Okay, very good. Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson.
Let's go. Welcome back, Rich.
Diehard Dallas Cowboy fan, resident Cowboy fan here. Troy Aikman is first up. He's calling the final game of week one that starts on Thursday night. Week one, a Monday Night Football, Vikings and Bears. And obviously, we'll talk about Micah Parsons being a Packer with one of the all-time greats. Von Miller is now a Washington Commander. We'll chat with him. We all know he was born into this league in Denver, the Broncos have a very large bandwagon all hyped up. Sean Payton will join us in hour number three. And a man who is on our very first show, and I think he's been on every first show of our tenure when we've had a new partner.
Absolutely.
To help us choose our fantasy football name, our team name. There's a whole bunch of options that we're going to provide to this man. Paul Rudd will be on this program. Very popular man. He hasn't aged a day. He's on in hour number three. And again, there's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial on the program. TJ Jefferson, you have famously said on this show over the last few months that you have not one but two Arch Manning football cards that you hope five. You have five of them.
Five.
That you hope to parlay. You hope to one day parlay together to buy a yacht.
Some type of sailing investment. Yes. Yeah, for sure.
All right. At this point in time,
sailing investment.
At this point in time, listen. One day in to his college starting career as the full-time starter, the Texas Longhorns. There's a lot of folks out there that would think that maybe you should take the bus.
And, wow. Thingies are available, Richard.
It is. I will say this. Watching him against the Ohio State on a day where they raised a banner in game one, him on the road. He had never even thrown a pass on the road as a member of Texas Longhorn football. And all the hype surrounding him, Heisman this, Heisman that, it was subpar. Mm. And it is something about which I am unconcerned. I am unconcerned. I am not one of those tape heads. I'm not one of those all 22 individuals. I'm not going to sit here and break it down like, say, Orlovsky would do or has done, right? All I will say is, at the end of the day, and by that day, I mean next year's draft, that a lot of people pegged him to be the first overall selection in. And the number of people that were like, did you see that Jimmy Haslam and Andrew Berry were on the sideline of this game? And yes, I saw. First of all, not a very long trip for them.
Nope.
I'm wondering if they took the flying private pilot, whatever it is, Air
J. Yeah.
Just don't know if they took that PJ. I mean, a quick trip. I don't think they drove. Is that certainly not a yacht to take you there? There's other people that are top five worthy draft choices that were on that field, and particularly in scarlet and gray. That kid Caleb Downs can play football. Oh my God, can he play football? And maybe by the end of the day as well for that draft, prior to which, maybe Caleb Downs is going to get some Heisman votes. I understand you need to score touchdowns for Heismans. And, you know, there's a number two who hails from the state of Ohio who won one for the University of Michigan because he would score touchdowns on many different ways on offense, defense, and special teams, and Charles Woodson. But that kid, Caleb Downs, is outstanding. Mm-hmm. And you say what you will about Matt Patricia, the guy knows how to coach defense.
Yeah.
Just saying, he wasn't in the ear of, you know, saying the quarterback, as he was maybe for New England a couple of years ago. And we'll talk about Belichick in a second. Arch went against some guys that are going to be maybe top 10 draft picks, plural.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Against a defensive coordinator who, if I'm not mistaken, once upon a time tried to stop his uncles and were successful at it on occasion, more so against Uncle Peyton than Uncle Eli. And he did have a throw similar to Uncle Eli with the game on the line in the fourth quarter on the left sideline. As soon as he dropped that pass in between two guys, I texted Joel Klatt saying, just like Uncle Eli with Mario Manningham in a much bigger game.
Joel Klatt was kind of busy.
The kid, you know, he responded after the game. But I don't care about that sort of stuff. Kid's going to be all right. He's going to be absolutely fine. And, you know, after the game, he clearly has learned from his uncles and dad and his grandfather about what a quarterback should say after losing a game in which his stat line and the results were not what he wanted.
Off season 0-1, they're a good team, but I thought we beat ourselves a lot, and that starts with me, and I got to play better for us to win. Can't wait till the second half to kind of get things going.
Were you uncomfortable in the first half, or was it something else?
I just got to play better, got to execute, got to get the receivers the ball more, and let them make plays.
And in terms of that, you look at their schedule. And next few games for the University of Texas. Winnable games. Home for San Jose State. Home for UTEP. Home for Sam Houston.
Oh, nice.
Games, by the way, that you can all see on the ESPN app everywhere, because there's ABC, SEC Network, ESPN Plus, and SEC Network. So seek it out. His next game's at Florida of significance, on the road, in conference. And then he's home for Oklahoma. Now, those are the games we're going to have to see rubber meet in the road. And the next three games, he's going to make some hay. And it'll be better. After that, at Kentucky, Mississippi State, home for Vanderbilt, at Georgia, before he finishes with two at home against Arkansas, Texas A&M. This is going to be a playoff team. Again, you just got to take the long view here. This is going to be a playoff team, and Coach Steve Sarkisian knows exactly that.
I do think he's settled into playing, you know. The only part of it, sometimes when he gets, you know, hit a couple times, it helps him. You know, he's one of those kind of guys, you know. And so I think we learned a little bit that way of maybe, you know, incorporating a little more of his run stuff earlier in the game, where we waited a little bit into the second half. I think when that happened, I felt like he started really playing, and we saw some real flashes and glimpses of the type of player that he's going to become here. You know, he's going to watch the tape and say, man, I wish this, I wish that. That's the life of a competitor. But I think there's a lot to hold on to of what the future is going to look like for Arch Manning here. So we're excited about that.
Put a pin in all of it. Saturday, October 4th at Florida. That's it. That's where rubber's going to meet the road. He's going to be a lot more confident. The offense will be a lot more clicking. Ohio State is no joke. Number one team in the country, right? Correct? 1 week through?
Yeah, someone was making the case for LSU, but I would say Ohio State's number one.
Please,
yeah,
come on.
Penn State.
All right, dude, fine.
Penn State, yeah.
Okay, yeah. James Franklin's already in midseason form where he's barking at officials, already up 40 with 30 seconds to go.
Listen.
Okay, all good. Listen, the whole Arch thing, you know, I'm not going to come on here, and again, if you're somehow new to this neighborhood, we're not hot takers here. I mean, we'll have takes, but, I mean, let's just pump the brakes here. That said, the photograph of your yacht right now, it's sort of like Back to the Future fuzzy.
Come on. But you're saying I shouldn't be worried, though.
You should not be worried.
Yeah, of course.
That's correct. Just in the same way that, again, the picture wound up existing in Back to the Future.
Even better.
But right now it's fuzzy. In your, we're in the, what is it, the underwater, the sea dance? What is it again?
Yeah, enchantment under the sea.
Thank you, sir. Okay, very good. All right. Right now, that's where we're at right now.
Because I was getting it on X and Threads about my boat disappearing.
Arch has got to go to the car and find Biff and punch him out against Florida.
Exactly.
And then you got your yacht back.
I'm with it.
Or at least you're on that pace.
I would say stay tuned for Overreaction Monday on a Tuesday.
And right now, though, on that front, it seems Cleveland should look at Caleb Downs if they're somehow top five.
Well, they need a quarterback.
I understand.
We think.
Well, they got all these draft choices. One more thing before we throw to break here. That was my professional opinion. Now then.
No. Oh, the glasses are off.
Arch Manning. Can't win them all. And not everyone wins at Ohio State. As a matter of fact, not many people win at Ohio State. It's tough to win at Ohio State unless your name is University of Michigan. So there's that. Reach out. Take some notes. Next time you're anybody who goes to the Horseshoe, maybe Penn State could call and take some notes. Because we go in undefeated and win. We go in with multiple losses and walk-on quarterbacks and win. So if you want, call Penn State.
Have Drew call JJ?
Whatever. Yeah. Just we can help is what I'm saying. You know?
Taking notes.
Right. So it's a tough place to win unless you're the University of Michigan with a flag and you plant it. And in that regard, there was one young man who did not struggle in his first start. Now it helps to be at home against New Mexico as opposed to be on the road against the Ohio State. But our friend Bryce Underwood, took care of business. I will say this. Again, I'm very straightforward when I say this. In my, so I showed up 1986. Jim Harbaugh was my first quarterback when I showed up on the campus of the University of Michigan. So you do the math for me. I'm more verbal.
Is that coming up on 40 years?
Yeah.
Jeez. Of me watching Michigan football and living and dying with it. I've never seen a ball come out of a hand of a quarterback wearing maize and blue like Bryce Underwood.
That's a bold statement.
I could make it.
Drew Henson could throw some.
Thank you.
Throw and some bombs back then.
Chad Henney
had a cannon.
I've never.
By the way, Elvis. Come on now.
Thomas J. Brady.
Seen anything like it? Rolling to his left, throwing seeds, and this one, I will say this first of all, two things. He threw a block with his throwing shoulder. Let's not do this anymore.
The height of stupidity.
Well, it's also the height of 18-year-old right, being 18.
I mean, immediately okay. Saying that clip, I was like, what is he doing?
Height of 18-year-old. Okay. And there was one. But the University of Michigan frequently has what happened to them, which is big lead, suddenly things start turning against the momentum, including a freshman who puts the ball on the ground on a kickoff after New Mexico makes it a 10-point game, yada, yada, yada. It's now a one-score game right before halftime. Michigan gets the ball back. First two offensive plays go for negative yards. It's now third and forever. Everybody who roots for the University of Michigan knows at this point in time. That's when you run the ball. You go into some sort of a turtle situation. Let's not make it worse. Let's punt. Let's play defense. And things begin to continue to slide against him. Instead, Sherrone Moore let the kid cook. And he threw a seed on third and 14 for a 39-yard gain. And this is a team last year that didn't have a chunk play of 40 yards or more all season. That led to a touchdown, his first touchdown pass as a Michigan quarterback. And it changed everything. Next up is Oklahoma. We shall see. That's my, I guess, unprofessional take on Arch Manning's performance. Arch, don't worry about it. Should have gone to Michigan. Can it be more unprofessional than that?
Yeah, but if he did,
I'm so proud of myself.
Bryce Underwood would be somewhere else.
You know, so.
Oh, that's true. I'm happy with the guy I got. Thank you for that.
Well, I just had to keep it in perspective
for
you.
That was, I guess I'm the minister of culture here as well on that front. We'll talk Bill Belichick later on in this program. What happened with UNC. Also, on this show, our Overreaction Monday podcast came out yesterday. We appreciate everybody who was watching it our YouTube channel. Over 170,000 snagged that one in their viewership over day one. It's also available through the ESPN Podcast Network. Check it out. All 3 hours of the show every single day. And No Contest Wrestling, you and O'Shea Jackson Jr. are recording the latest episode.
Yeah, we have WWE Women's Champion Tiffany Stratton. It's Tiffy time tonight.
Okay, fantastic. So that's still to come. Let's take a break. When we come back, Troy Aikman will join us. His thoughts on what the Dallas Cowboys did, trading away their best defensive player to the Green Bay Packers of all teams. That's coming up. We're off and running here on Disney Plus, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app. We're back on the ESPN Radio Network with Troy Aikman. Your thoughts on Micah in that locker room or anything like that? About his welcome status in Dallas,
yeah.
Troy.
Well, it's a fair question. Unfortunately, I don't have the answer to that. And the guys now maybe on the team would come out and be a little bit more vocal as to if in fact Micah was a distraction or however he might have been as a teammate. Obviously, when he's on the roster, guys are very guarded as to what they may or may not say. There's no question that the negotiation got personal. The fact that Jerry never even spoke to the agent, and then to say that he typically doesn't negotiate with the agent, that's a first that I've ever heard of. But I sense, Rich, that at that preseason game when Micah was laying down on the training table, that might have been the final straw. And maybe it was orchestrated on Micah's part or his agent's part in trying to make it clear that they were ready to be moved. What that looks like going forward for the Cowboys, what that may look like for the Packers going forward, time is about to tell. And a lot of it, too, is you know, Mike is an outstanding player, and if he can be as productive as he's been with the Cowboys, he's definitely going to be a key figure for this Packers team. But I didn't realize the back potentially could be more. I thought it was more a ploy as to why he wasn't practicing. That's news to me, and that becomes a concern for a young guy to be dealing with a back issue.
Yeah, me too. Right, like because I thought that was Micah positioning for tomorrow when there's a plane plane to get on. Right, like back, it's tough for me to sit on the plane, so I'm going to stay home. And now he's in Green Bay potentially, according to our friend Adam Schefter, needing an epidural to play against the Lions. Yeah. So I guess, how powerful is this, do you think, in the Cowboys locker room that Micah's gone and everybody seems to think that that's the end of the Dallas Cowboys 2025 season? What do you how do you think this does position Dallas for that opener against Philadelphia and beyond, Troy?
Well, I said it during our preseason game that the leverage that I felt Micah had with the Cowboys was the simple fact that I didn't think they could win without him. And that's a bold statement, I realize, because players do get hurt, and then to imply that the season is over is not fair to those other guys on the team. But I just think that he is such a disruptive player, and for a defense that had their issues and they're going through some changes, to not have a central figure like Micah Parsons that offenses have to worry about is game-changing for an offense coming into play against them. I think it was going to be challenging for them in a lot of ways regardless, but now even more so. And I think that adds more pressure to Dak Prescott and this offense to be able to score points and keep the ball away from the opposing teams. But, I do think this defense that was going to have some concerns going in, those become even more pronounced without a dominant pass rusher like Micah is.
And then let's flip to Green Bay, Troy, because it's not like these prideful athletes and Packers need a vote of confidence from the front office, right? But what a way to hear from those in management to say, we believe now's the time.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and that to me alone is worth the trade. And I wonder what you think.
Yeah.
Troy.
No, I'm a big fan of the Packers and Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst and what he's been able to do. And I know last year when the season ended, based on 2 years ago, what they were able to do with a road playoff win against the Cowboys. And then it just didn't really translate into much last year. And as Brian said, the time is now to start putting themselves in a position to win championships. And so this acquisition, it certainly sends a message throughout the entire locker room that, hey, if you had any doubts to begin with, this should eliminate those as far as what we're here about, what we're here for, and what this organization is about. So I like the Packers a lot. That division, of course, is extremely challenging. But with all the changes that have occurred, you know, you look at Minnesota and the fact that J.J. McCarthy is making his first start this next Monday night, and what's that going to look like for him? The fact that the Lions, who have really dominated the division the last few years, and now they lose both coordinators. The Bears are certainly somewhat in a rebuilding mode. So I think when you look at it as to where the Packers are, obviously competitive division, but I like them and where they're at right now as they go into this year. And then you add a Micah Parsons to that defense and what he's capable of doing, and a defense that I think was really on the rise last year and did a lot of really positive things. I think it looks really good, bodes well for them. And that, now again, we go back to will Micah play this week?
Yeah.
And if not, when will he play? That's a big question mark, of course.
Last one for you on this subject matter, Troy, before we move on. And it's the third rail question, if you don't mind, that Cowboys fans are wondering about. And that is that at this stage, that Jerry and the rest of the Jones family and those in ownership are more concerned about the Cowboys as a brand and a business than winning another championship. And I wonder, and how this trade is the latest indication of that. How does that hit you? What do you say to fans who say something like that?
Well, I'm not sure I can really say much, Rich, to be honest with you, because I saw, you know, Jerry talk about the fact that, you know, the having the Cowboys as a discussion point is meaningful to him. And if people aren't talking about the Cowboys, then he'll do things to stir it up. So he kind of walked into that and has given the impression that supersedes winning. And I think in some ways, I'm sure that Jerry and the Jones family and everyone is tired of talking about the fact that they haven't been to a championship game, let alone a Super Bowl in 30 years. But so then when you deflect that, then essentially the valuation of your franchise or the attention and the exposure or the drama or the, as Jerry said, the fact that the Cowboys are a soap opera 365 days a year, that then becomes the scoreboard instead of winning and losing on the field. And do I think that winning is not important to Jerry Jones? Not at all. I think Jerry wants to win more than anything else. And I think that he's very exhausted of the fact that this team, although they've won a lot of regular season games, as you know, it is remarkable how much they've won in the regular season over the last 20, 25 years, but yet they've only won four playoff games, and that's hard to stomach.
And so in terms of Troy Aikman here on the Rich Eisen Show, you're going to see Green Bay first up on the Monday night schedule when the Eagles visit Lambeau in week 10. Are the Eagles the team to beat in the NFL again this year, you think, Troy?
Yeah, it's an easy one to say yes to for me, because as someone who has won some Super Bowls, I do think, until proven otherwise, you know, they're the team to beat. But with that said, I just think it's such a great organization. It's well run. I say it every time we have an Eagles game. I think Howie Roseman has done just a terrific job of, you know, it seems like whenever they're really loaded, and yet in the middle of the season, they do things that just make themselves stronger. I just think he manages that roster as well as anybody in the league. And I like that staff. I love what they've done with what Nick Sirianni has done. Vic Fangio coming back as defensive coordinator. And I like that. Of course, Jalen Hurts, everything's kind of built around him. And then with what Saquon Barkley has done. And there's not much not to like about the Eagles. I do feel that they're the best in the NFC right now.
And I think the last time the Eagles made the Super Bowl and lost is how so many people are viewing the Lions this year, Troy. And by that, I mean the Lions losing both coordinators. The Eagles, last time that happened in a Super Bowl run, they took a step back. And everyone's kind of assuming, for the lack of a better phrase, that the Lions are about to suffer a similar fate, that Ben Johnson might have been Jared Goff's secret sauce. What's your opinion on that,
Troy? Well, and I'm glad you asked that. I will say also, I mentioned the Eagles and talking about their staff. They lose Kellen Moore. So, you know, here you've got Jalen Hurts going through that again.
Right.
I hate it for him, as many different play callers as he's had to work with. But your point with the Lions, it's real. I've been there. I've been there when you lose a defensive coordinator. We lost Dave Wannstedt after our first Super Bowl. And then the next year, you lose Norv Turner, and those coaching matters. You know, there are some. There might be a guy in Dallas who doesn't appreciate coaching maybe as much as I do, but I think coaching really matters. And so I do think that for this season, the Lions, excuse me, if anyone can overcome it, it's Dan Campbell. But that is challenging, and it'll be a different feel for Jared Goff. I've heard his comments. You know, you've been used to working with a guy like Ben Johnson and what they had going, and then you've kind of got to rebuild that with someone else. And it's not just about knowing the offense; it's knowing when to call the plays and set things up, and, you know, really be a quarterback friendly system. Ben Johnson did that for Goff, and that'll be the challenge for the Lions. Can they kind of regroup with different staff and play at the level that we've seen from them? But it is hard, and it's also hard when you get disappointed the way that they have in the postseason. to come back year after year and to continue to be competitive and play at that level.
Yeah, and you and Joe are seeing Detroit week three on Monday Night Football at Baltimore. What a great game. Yeah. That's good. A paint-swapping affair, certainly on that week three Monday Nighter. The AFC, Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills. That's the conversation. Who's going to join the fourth chair? Is it as simple as that, Troy, do you think?
Well, the crazy, I mean, I would like to think that Cincinnati will be there. You know, we had them in the preseason. Yes. And for Joe Burrow to essentially have what could have been an MVP season last year and not even make the postseason. And you just, you know, I'm as big a Joe Burrow fan as there is on this planet. And I just would hate to see him not reach that level. He's been to a Super Bowl, but this is a championship caliber quarterback, and I hope he's able to do it at some point. But the AFC is really compelling in the sense that there's some good teams that you just mentioned. You know, you got Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and he's won MVPs. And then, of course, last year with Josh Allen winning the MVP, and Buffalo's been good and knocking on the door, but nobody has been able to really unseat the Kansas City Chiefs. And with that, there's a story being written. And ultimately, I do believe the quarterbacks are judged on championships. And we've got some really great players at that position in that conference that just cannot get over the hurdle of Patrick Mahomes. So I'm as anxious as anyone to see if Kansas City can keep that run going. And maybe will there be someone that kind of comes out of left field and surprises some people. But if you're Buffalo, Cincinnati, Baltimore, I don't know how you went through this offseason not looking back and saying, man, we've left some things on the table or haven't yet been able to achieve the things that we're capable of. And it's all because of that team in Kansas City. And, you know, what have they done this offseason in order to get themselves over the top?
Now, the Chiefs, the first team to win back to back to make it to the Super Bowl for a three-peat. That said, let's be honest. You played in the Super Bowl after winning two in a row. I was there in that day in Candlestick Park. That was the Super Bowl in that NFC Championship game. Yeah. With all due respect to the San Diego Superchargers, you won it again the year after you lost in that NFC Championship game. Do you think Mahomes is sitting around pissed? He just doesn't say it, doesn't want to talk about it, doesn't want to wear it. Do you think he's sitting around pissed about whatever that story is being written right now, Troy?
Well, what I think, I've gotten to know Patrick. I wouldn't claim that I'm that close to him, but from what I know of him, I think he's grateful. I think he's grateful that he's in a great organization. He has a great head coach in Andy Reid, and he's been able to accomplish a lot. I can't imagine coming out of Texas Tech that you would think your NFL career would look the way that Patrick Mahomes has. With that said, though, Rich, to your point, I think that it's so hard to get to a Super Bowl. And for him to have won three and lost two, I think you look at it and you say, man, if I could have five Super Bowls right now under my belt. And then you're contending as the greatest quarterback of all time. And because those opportunities just are hard to come by. And Tom Brady would say the same thing for the ones that he lost. I mean, he's won seven, won 10. So, but you got to take advantage of those opportunities when they present themselves. So my guess is that's the thing that it probably gnaws on him pretty good. Yeah. that he's lost a couple. Fortunately for me, I didn't lose one, but I can't imagine what that feeling might be if you had.
Before I let you go, Troy, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you what you think of the Netflix documentary. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's entertaining. It was a walk down memory lane. There were a lot of emotions that came with it. I'm not sure, Rich, it's the definitive story on the 90s Cowboys. Okay. I'm not sure it can be when a central figure in it has editorial rights. So, I thought it was good. I've heard from a lot of people. It's reconnected me with a lot of former teammates.
Is that right?
So, what did you think of?
Oh, I mean, it's fascinating, man. It is a memory lane for sure, but you know, you lived it. And I didn't know, we had Irv on last week. I had no idea there was a hit out on his life. I mean, that Did you learn anything through this documentary at all?
No, I don't. Fortunately or unfortunately, I lived through it all. But yeah, I mean, I tell the story that, it was such a crazy time, of course. And I'm at the facility working out. And it was that day when I had learned that there had been a hit. Fortunately, it got spoiled. And then Michael, Michael as well as I do, he's out there running 110s, getting ready for the season and celebrating as though he just scored a touchdown, you know, and didn't know I was watching him. And I part of his greatness is that he was pretty unaffected by a lot of things that other people might have been shooken up about.
No, I hear you. I don't know if you saw him on the sideline at Miami this weekend.
I did not. I see him a lot, though, already. So. Yeah,
well, it's nothing you already didn't know when you see that video. Troy, thanks for the time, man. Thanks for doing this. Appreciate you being my first guest on in the Disney Plus world and back with ESPN. Means a lot, man.
You bet. Thanks, Rich.
We'll chat again soon. That's Troy Aikman.
Yes,
he's
here
on Monday Night Football once again with Joe Buck.
It's my quarterback.
Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's your quarterback.
You see how I smiled when he said he never lost.
By the way, fortunately, I never lost a Super Bowl. Although I will say that was the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The NFC Championship game, the 1994 season into 1995. That was the Super Bowl. Yeah. I was there. As a member of KRCR television, as a local reporter, I was underneath the goalpost that Steve Young ran past with his hand, with the ball up in the air as he's running, ran right past me. Yeah. I got some great video, and then somebody stole my camera.
Oh,
cable, the cable, and then the camera tape and everything like that. So great stuff out of me as a local reporter. Hey, send me to the game, and I'll come back with nothing.
With nothing.
It's amazing I'm still
so
here today.
Rich, what you got for us?
It's not about me, despite the name of the show and the mug. But, that was neat how Troy's like, fortunately, I never lost the Super Bowl.
And I saw you looked at me, and I was just like, the good times, baby.
Well, that was the Super Bowl. Whoever was winning that game was going to make mincemeat of the San Diego Chargers and Stan Humphries, and it just turned out to be the 49ers.
Stan.
It's the truth. Bobby Ross?
If only Prime hadn't interfered with Irv.
Careful. I mean, careful.
I love Prime.
Careful. Careful, sir. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're here on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere, and ESPN Radio, which is presented by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Back here with your phone calls and so much more in hour number one with Von Miller on the horizon. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our friends at Hyundai would like to let you know about the Hyundai Getaway sales event that's going on right now. Get away with a deal so right it almost feels wrong. The Adventure-ready SUVs are sitting there for you to test drive and check out. The Hyundai Santa Fe and Santa Fe Hybrid models, huge savings on the most awarded EV lineup in America. Or go all electric, the Ioniq 5 and Ioniq 6. They are breakthrough. Check that out. Get down to your local Hyundai dealer. Get away with a great deal only during the Hyundai Getaway sales event. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. For details. Jason in Phoenix. Let's take Jason's phone call here on the Rich Eisen Show, the Tuesday before kickoff of the 2025 season. What's up, Jason?
Hello. Hey. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
You got it. Are you excited? You sound really chill, Jason. Not going to lie.
Yeah, I was waiting patiently. You know, okay. I am excited, though. Excellent. I am excited that took my call. Yeah.
No. I mean, about the season. I know you're excited.
I am. Yeah, I know I'm excited about the season. I have what I think is kind of going to be a storyline going forward after this trade. That, ironically, you know, I called up a few weeks ago. I played myself as Jerry Jones, his nephew, Jason Jones, and I paid you a very nice compliment, remind you. And I also did say that they should do this Herschel Walker trade, which at the time, I do watch a lot of sports TV, and nobody had really been acknowledging that as a possibility or speaking of it much.
Right.
I said the reasoning behind it was because, you know, good coaches, good teams, they just run right at Micah. And it wasn't worth the money to pay him that. And so I just thought, I didn't know he was going to come out and say that, like, after the trade. And then he literally said, like, the best way to mitigate a good pass rusher to run at it.
Here's the deal,
and
Jason.
From what I've heard is like they went specifically after Kenny Clark, and that was the reason why they made the deal.
No, I heard that too, and all of that, Jason. And I appreciate the call and you calling back and being patient and excited. That's spin. It's flat out spin. Yeah. We wanted to stop the run. You don't trade a defensive end that affects the game so significantly for a position that frequently does not. Again, there's Chris Jones. There's New York Giant Dexter, the Dexter of New York, who can come for you, put you on a figurative slab. Enough. Listen. Aaron Donald, there's not many of those in the center of a defense that can affect in the same way that Micah can from out. And I understand he disappeared in the playoffs. That's what I told Packer fans. You took care of him. Now you're going to have to take care of him. And
but what if Kenny Clark turns into something?
Hey,
He can. I have to look at the positive side.
I know.
You know what I mean?
But
I have
when
to.
When you stop the run and it's third and eight, you need somebody to sack the quarterback on third and eight.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're going to have to stop the run again. That's why it just makes no sense.
Yeah.
No sense. And the deep dive on ESPN.com, everyone should check it out. I read it before the show because I'm a lead pipe wielding professional. And, you know, you see, you know, hey, Charles Haley would have knocked him off that training table. Like, well, Charles Haley's gone. It's a different day and age. Okay. Yeah. Charles Haley probably would have told Micah to stop podcasting. Or he would have said, what's a podcast? You know what I mean? Like, it's the 21st century, and now there's going to be spin all over the place.
Yeah, we don't know how long he was on that table, too. Like, it could have been just like a...
You know, and then Micah, by the way, he showed up. I loved his outfit.
Me, too.
On Friday, talking about what the last month was like for him.
I would say these last 4 months have been probably the hardest 4 months of my life. And, you know, my family's saying you're acting different, you know, because it's hard. You know, when you're the soldier of the family, you know, it's hard to say when you're unsure yourself. You know, it's easy when, you know, you can just go to the store and buy the groceries and know there's going to be food on the table. But if you can't go to the store, how is there going to be food on the table? And that's kind of how I felt. So, you know, but during this time, it just made me stronger. It made me more mentally stronger that I can get through anything. And it just showed me that, you know, whatever happens, you can't really control it, and that well, all you can do control is every day.
And then you see in the article, the Cowboys said, you know, according to the article, Cowboys told the Packers, love the player, not the person.
Wow.
Okay. You know.
Wow.
And
from the guy that once signed Greg Hardy.
No, I get it. Talent over everything, and the everything that Micah apparently was bringing to the equation that rankled the Cowboys doesn't meet the standard of consuming the talent portion and throwing it and giving it to Green Bay of all teams, of all franchises. The thing that surprised me, and Troy Aikman just brought up, was the back. Because, you know, he was saying, I can't practice because of my back. And I thought that was just to try and set things up for the decision I thought it was all going to come down to between he and the Cowboys, which was tomorrow, Wednesday, when it's time to get on a plane, a bus to get on a plane with your teammates. And he could basically say, I have this back problem, which is why Brian Schottenheimer came out and said, the MRI is clean. So if the MRI is clean, then why does he need an epidural in Green Bay? Like, none of this seems to compute and make sense. But rubber's meeting the road. And the Cowboys are going to have to go first against Philadelphia on a night that they're raising the banner and Jalen Hurts is coming downhill at you with Saquon. And so Kenny Clark's going to get his first test.
Stop the run.
Significantly.
Yeah. Good luck.
And we will see. And he can contribute. But this does not compute. It still doesn't. And it won't until we see who the Cowboys start to draft with their draft choices. I can't wait to ask Von Miller about all this.